Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Before we kick off, I just want to pray. There was a moment in that song that talked about embers being fanned into flame. And I actually believe the Holy Spirit has placed upon your heads, and many of you, a Holy Spirit ember that's never caught fire. If you ever been around a bonfire and there's only embers in the flame, like there's only embers in the fire, that's all that's left. It's early in the morning. And you're like, we need to get this thing cranking again because we need to cook. And you blow on that ember. And you wave that ember and all of a sudden, well, I believe that God is going to do that for a lot of you today. So just shut your eyes. Let's just pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you that it is you that brings the revelation of Jesus. And God, I pray that you would fan into flame the embers that have rested upon so many. God, may there be a fire above their heads as they walk out today. Full of fire, full of life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm expecting today. I'm expecting, and like Beck said, the book of Acts has been firing me up. I've been reading it constantly. I got to say, when you get into the scripture and it just speaks to you really clearly, it stands out on the page, you kind of just meditate it on. You just can't help but meditate on it, right? I found myself in Roma this week. No, yeah, that's about what I thought, right? But in Roma, in the evenings, I found myself meditating on this word again. And we're going to continue the book of Acts. We're going to continue. We're just going through the scriptures and looking at the early church and what was going on and why there was actually a move and why the church exploded overnight. It had nothing to do with a really good preacher. Thank God, all right? It had nothing to do with great music. It had everything to do with the Holy Spirit, okay? Everything to do with the Holy Spirit revealing himself. And it all started, we're just going to pick up from Acts 3:19 last week. It says this, and I mentioned this, I believe this is for our church. Therefore, repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And it says this, and that he may send Jesus who has been appointed for you as the Messiah. Heaven must receive him until the time of the restoration of all things, which God spoke about through his holy prophets from the beginning. And then further down in verse 26, God raised up his servant, that being Jesus, and sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways. The first blessing was turning each and every person from the evil ways. That was the blessing through Jesus. There was this thing of repentance. You've got to understand that repentance is the prerequisite for the Holy Spirit to hit. For the Holy Spirit power to touch your life, it starts at a place of turning back. The truth is, without the Holy Spirit revelation and conviction of sin, we won't change. We won't feel the need to change. We'll stay stagnant in our faith. You know, we'll ignore all aspects of our life that are sin if the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal it, okay? We will create our own choose-your-own-adventure Christianity. And I love that even before the Holy Spirit, before Jesus, King David, who had a heart after God, he used to cry out to God constantly, hey, show me if there's anything wrong within me. I want to get right with you, God. Psalm 139:19 says, oh, that you would slay the wicked, because David was under attack constantly, being hunted down, oh God. Oh, men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. He's talking about how they speak against his God. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. He's really passionate about righteousness. Really passionate about the things of God. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there is anything grievous, any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He's saying, lead me into eternal life. If there's stuff going on I need to repent of, highlight it to me so we can get on with it, because I know that's where your spirit's going to speak. And, you know, one of the craziest things is I just think about King David, his heart after God. He wanted to be obedient. Like Beck said, so many people, they sit in church and they go, God, why won't you move? And exactly like Beck said, obedience is the beginning of that. Obedience is the beginning.
If you can't be obedient to the voice of God, then don't expect the Holy Spirit to show up in mighty works and power, because really you are God of your own life. And today I want to say that we're going to return to this repentance and understanding forgiveness of sin today, the foundation of the early church's growth. You know, the early followers of the way, they called it the way, would have meditated on the one prayer that Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Think about it. They're now following Jesus. They're hearing about all his teachings, and Jesus said, hey, this is how you need to pray. And this prayer would have been the catalyst of God's move on their lives. This would have been the meditation of their heart. And Jesus says this in Matthew 6, 7 to 14. He says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we also forgive those that have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And today, I want to challenge us all on the power of forgiveness. The allowance of God to set you free in your life through forgiveness. To live free was actually the signpost of the early church. People who really got freedom, they were set free. And this idea of forgiveness has been on my heart, because so many people, they're like, I don't know why God's not moving. And it's like there's a blockage between them and God. And often it's just unforgiveness. This morning I woke up to the thought that my drains were clogged with leaves. It was pouring down, and I knew it was clogged with leaves. Because you know, hear that gushing over the top? It's clogged with leaves. Unforgiveness is like the clogging. And you need to get into that space of just tearing it out and starting to forgive. You need to forgive. You need to find a way to forgive so the Holy Spirit can flow where it needs to flow. Now, here's the crazy thing. This week, I had a powerful moment, and I'm going to get this guy to come up and share, because it made me so excited. It made me so excited. But here's the thing. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Understand that when people have a true experience with the Holy Spirit, it actually changes them. It changes them. Like, it doesn't leave you the same with a hyped up experience and makes you walk out going, I feel lighter, but I still hate people. The Holy Spirit will set you free. But not only that, the Holy Spirit will bring such a conviction to set others people free as well. And this week, I got a call. It was actually after last week, from a member in our church. And he said, Az, I need to talk to you about some things. I've felt the Holy Spirit really convicting me to forgive someone. And he said, I've lived in this freedom because God has challenged me to live in the freedom of just forgiveness myself. But it's been rocking me. The Holy Spirit rocked me today. And I just feel wholeheartedly I have to forgive. And I said, well, mate, what's your story? And I hope this is okay, Dave. I'll share it. And Dave said, he goes, hey, 11 years ago, my best mate ran off with my wife. And he said, what I actually love, Dave, is because of your Northern Ireland accent, right? He said, I don't know if you know this, Az. Us North Irelanders, we like to hold a grudge, right? So, and for me, I love that, right? And I said, Dave, and we had this chat. He said, but I really feel in my spirit, I need to forgive him and actually say, I forgive you. And he goes, is that stupid? I'm like, that sounds like the Holy Spirit to me. Because the Holy Spirit will stir you to do stuff that seems completely upside down, impractical. Every head knowledge, bit of knowledge is like, I should hold this. I deserve it. It was done against me and that's mine to hold. But can I tell you, when freedom comes, freedom is released. And I want to invite Dave up right now. Can we just invite Dave up right now? Because I want him to share what was going on last week in his heart and what actually unfolded after that conversation. And it's on.
It's on.
Yeah. Tell us about it.
I can see why you like it up here. beautiful bunch.
Tell us about last week, mate. Obviously,
last week started probably a few months ago. The story is way back. It was actually 13 years ago.
13.
My best mate, my work partner, I grew up with this fellow. We worked together for umpteen years. He knew all my family. Like I say, he had been around to my house on several occasions for dinner during the week because he had been through a hard divorce as well. So I knew in my household, was at one stage, things changed. And I couldn't figure it out. So after maybe a couple of months, I didn't go to work this morning, sat in the living room. Girl is married to, she come in, and, oh, what are you doing here? I says, you know what I'm doing here. so I quizzed her and quizzed her. Oh, no, there's nothing wrong. So I finally got out of her, and she wanted to have relations, not with another man, with other men. And I said, ain't much I can do about that. I'll leave the house for an hour. I'm going to come back. Don't be here. Because, as I said, Oz in Northern Ireland, does anybody know any history of Northern Ireland? The Troubles? Yep. Yeah. Well, I grew up right the way through that. And in that culture, I could love deeply, but I could also hate passionately. And I still have that. Still have it in me. With that background, I mean, hate was easy. You know, in fact, it still would be only for God. Well, I felt like a fool after it, but in hindsight, maybe not so. I trusted my friend. He'd been through it. He knew myself, my wife, whatever. So I phoned him. He says, oh, look, she's lost in the plot here, but I'll tell her to go and you can put her up because he is in the house by himself. And he says, yeah, certainly. So little did I know, I sounded to the Lion's Den type of thing, you know, at that stage. But then things started transpiring. I started to click on real quick what was going on. And any time I'd have called and put it to him, he denied it. And then he started to get quite abusive towards me. And at that time, it was as well. There was distance between him and me because I could have taken him somewhere and he'd never have been found. You know, it was one of them efforts. Because when she walked out, it was left their own business, single parent, for about 5 years. I had to do all the household stuff, kids to school, and blah, blah, blah. So it was like a 24-hour cycle just of, you get up in the morning, this is what you have to do, you have to do this, you have to do that. So that on top of, obviously, a breakup, and obviously the house was going to have to be sold. So I had all this going on, and there was me. Like, me and this fellow went to church as well, the same church. In fact, I was part and partial of actually, before he was a Christian, we were working together. I had a witness in him, and he just landed at my house one night and said, can you actually tell me about this? I want to become a Christian. So I'd shared with the man, you know, and he got saved that night then. But getting to the crux of the matter now, and this is his fault, by the way, is, you know, speaking on the Holy Spirit. The whole forgiveness thing, just not in me. But a few months ago, it started to tickle me. I had to forgive. And boy, did I get stuck on Mark chapter 11. I know you want us to read Acts, but I could not get out of Mark chapter 11, you know. And you're singing about the mountains moving. Yeah, well, Mark chapter 11, where it tells you speak on this mountain, it shall be cast from here to another place. Is there anything that you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it, and it shall be given to you. But that's where we usually stop, or else we'll mumble through the next bit. The next bit is, that's good. The next bit tells us, you know, that when we stand praying, forgive, that your Heavenly Father can forgive you your sins. And I go, oh, no, here we go. This isn't me, you know. As I say, hatred is easy in myself. So this started to twig me. I actually mentioned to a fellow in work in construction, which I could tell you a story about that. But anyway, there was one other follower of Krishna. I sort of shared a little bit about it with him one stage a few months ago. And he said, David, just pray about it. So I said, yeah, I'll pray about that. I just put it in my back pocket. But this man started preaching on the Holy Spirit. Oh boy, did that come to the forefront. So I was struggling with it and struggling with it. The point came where last week, I said, I have to do something. But what my fear was of actually contacting this fella would be if it turned to disaster, I'd be thinking, can I ever hear the voice of God again? Can I trust it? Is it me? But when I spoke to that's what I had to call. Get a little bit of godly counsel. You know, sometimes it takes somebody from outside the circle to look in through your window. And that's what this man done. I appreciate that and put a bit of perspective on it. I couldn't open my own perspective box. So I did. I called them. And he answered the phone. And I says, well, don't forget, this is 13 years this is going on. It's a good bit of hatred, I can tell you. But yeah, I phone him. I says, well, fella, he says, you know who this is? He says, no. And he says, it's your old mate. He says, Is that Davey? I says, yep, that's him. And I could hear his jaw drop from here. You know? And have you any idea why I might be phoning you? Because I'm thinking, I have no idea why I'm phoning you. Maybe somebody spoke to you, you know? He says, no. I says, okay. I just said, well, how you going on? How's your walk? So he turns it anyway. His walk's been a bit of a disaster. His life's turned into a bit of a disaster. He says, from that happened, he didn't sleep well. He says it's constantly on his mind. And so we had a brief chat, and it concluded with me just telling him, I says, look, well, I'm telling you now, I'm calling you just to let you know I forgive you. I says, of a few people on my heart, that I need to forgive, I says, but out of them all, I says, you're the only one that's on my heart to actually call and let you know. Because in my own prayer life, I decided recently I was going to set my face like Flint, the woods walking in unforgiveness, which is foreign as far as I'm concerned. But when God wants to deal with it, he'll take it a task. So he will. I find that with his life being such a disaster, when I come off the phone to him, because he's saying about how lonely he is, and he'd had a relationship with another lady, it went for a while, didn't go well, and he just says the loneliness near kills him. I find myself, well, number one, I could actually mention his name. I could actually call him by his name before I couldn't, because it would have just stirred so much in me. I just encouraged him to get your walk right with God, mate.
So good. Yeah. Mate, so yeah. Good.
But just after that, I was able to pray for him. Yeah, I'm hung up. You know? And look, if anybody is holding unforgiveness or whatever, I heard the story of a lady going to her pastor. It's a true story actually. And she was very bitter, because that's one thing unforgiveness can set that root of bitterness into you that shouldn't spring up. And he took her up to the bell tower and started ringing the bell. And the bell was ding-dong. And he's pulling on the rope, ding-dong. And he let the rope go, but the bell's still ding-dong. And he just says, you need to let go of the rope. It might still ring around your head for a while, but it'll eventually slow down. Let go of the rope.
Forgive. Can we give it up for Dave? Can you give that to Beck?
That's only God, eh? Dave, well done on being obedient. Set some people free with your forgiveness. And we're going to look at this passage of Scripture. And I just want you to know, I mean, the Holy Spirit can do those sort of things. I remember a few months ago we had a video of Corrie ten Boom, who was a victim of, you know, prisoner of war. And she talked about having to forgive one of the guys that put her sister to death. And I remember that moment where she said, he came and said, can you please forgive me? And she said, everything in my heart, I couldn't. But then I said, God, help me. And then she said, it was like God himself came through me and gave me the strength to forgive. The Holy Spirit does that. And those that understand that when they're touched by God, things are not going to be the same. You don't have to live in a coping mechanism. You can be set free. And this is what I want to do. I want to have a look at this next passage of Scripture and look at some of the freedoms that are available to you today. It says this in chapter 4 of Acts. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while I was speaking to the people. Remember, last week, Peter and John have just healed the lame man who's been lame his entire life. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put him in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. They've just gone from 3,000 to 5,000, okay? Things are starting to get heated. The next day, the rulers and the elders of the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Cephas, John, Alexander, and others, and the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power, of what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, and this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. A few weeks back, Bella talked about the cornerstone. This idea of that, he's saying, hey, the one you rejected is actually going to be the foundation stone that everything is going to be built on from now on. Everything in your faith life is going to be built on Jesus. He says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that those men had been with Jesus. Hey, guys, you do not have to be well-spoken. You do not have to be skilled. You do not have to have any kind of credentials. All you have to do is spend time with Jesus. And people are going to see it on your life. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. They then called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at the same at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who had miraculously been healed was 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and earth and sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David, our father David. Why do nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided before should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness.
Like Beck preached about before, she didn't even know what was preaching. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work at them that there were no needy persons among them. What an amazing moment. Boldness. That is like, look at the guy. He's been lame for 40 years. This is not a guy that's got a flu and now he's not sneezing. This is not, oh, that guy said he had a headache and it's gone. This is a lame man of 40 years, now completely restored. And everyone knows him. Everyone knows him. And this gives them a boldness. They're like, game on. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Jesus is on the move. We're going to move into chapter 5 right now, 12 to 39. It says this, the apostles performed many signs and wonders amongst the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Can I just stop there? All of them are healed. And my spirit this week, the Holy Spirit said, today we're going to have some healing ministry and all of you will be healed. I'm going to speak it boldly. All of you are going to be healed in the name of Jesus. It's coming. If you need healing in your body right now, you need to get expectant. You need to start going, Holy Spirit, do it. Holy Spirit, do it again. Said then the high priest and all of his associates, who were the members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in a public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. The angel says, go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, we found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. On hearing the report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on the cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the Lord who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin. Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, there was Judas the Galilean, appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. I love that last statement. And I love that this guy, Gamaliel, rocks up and he's like, guys, if Jesus is who he says he is, you're not going to be able to shut this down. But hey, just let him go. See what happens. Surely he's just another rebel. And it'll just blow up. Today, we preach Jesus. Because he wasn't just another rebel leader. He is God. And it's in the name of Jesus that you can be set free from whatever's holding you down. Whatever sin, experience, guilt, shame, past, Jesus can set you free. Like Dave set his mate free. Like he's been set free because of the love of Jesus. That just doesn't happen. That's the Holy Spirit's power. Globally, there's 2.2 billion people on the face of the planet that proclaim Jesus right now. That didn't happen because of a rebel. They couldn't shut him down. Freedom in Jesus' name, man, has been on my heart all week. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be free. And he wants you to set others free as well. He wants you to be free. You know, we see the early church in Acts finds their freedom and boldness when first they repent and turn their lives around, but then in turn release that same forgiveness for others. Last week, I talked about how an encounter with the Holy Spirit won't lead you to a life of spiritualism. Truthfully, if you just come into church for the first time, or maybe someone told you there's something going on at that Elevation Church, there's some spiritual things happening. A true encounter with the Holy Spirit will not lead you to a life of spiritualism, which forces you to into a place where it's like, I just need some more to fill me and get my inner self right. A touch of the Holy Spirit will completely transform you to a place where you're not a spiritual person, you're someone who just wants to love everyone with the same love of Jesus. He'll give you absolute clarity in your life, spiritual fulfillment in a moment. At the same time, the Holy Spirit will bring conviction. Holy Spirit, right now, would you convict our hearts on the things that we need to let go of? Drop it in our spirit right now. The things that we need to forgive of others so that you can forgive us. Open that pipe again so your Holy Spirit might flow. The cloggages, the things that are clogging up our lives, God, the things that are separating us from what you have for us, the things that we hold on to, convict us right now. Lead us to a place of repentance again. John 8:34-36. He says, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a song belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Complete freedom. Complete freedom. You don't go back to the cage once the cage is open. You get out and you stay there in absolute freedom. Galatians 5:1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a burden of slavery." How often do we feel free from a moment and then we go, "I have the right to get back in my cage. I have a right to be offended. I have a right to stay in that burden. I have a right to keep that." And Jesus is like, "Free indeed. You can walk in free
freedom and not have a burden again for that sin. It's gone when you ask for forgiveness. Like, it's gone. Done with. Wiped clean. Never to be brought up again. Set free. Verse 13 of Galatians 5 says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." You've got to understand that freedom doesn't mean go back to your sin, because then you land in the cage again. The Holy Spirit will bring about a change in your life. If something doesn't change in you, then have you really experienced the Holy Spirit? One touch, just one touch. It's all you need. What Jesus sets you free from is a life of sin that will destroy you. Stop going back to it. Be set free. In this passage of Scripture, we find a new freedom break out in the early church because of the Holy Spirit. The first freedom we see happen amongst the people is that the disciples and those that follow Jesus are completely free of the fear of man. They don't care. They're completely set free from the fear of man, because fear of man is, "I'm going to kill you." That doesn't matter. Peter and John have a boldness to tell those in authority the truth of Jesus. They weren't bound by fear. They had experienced the truth, and that's all that mattered. The second freedom we find is that they have this bold freedom to ask God to move on their behalf. Like, all of a sudden, they don't go, "But what if God doesn't show up? I mean, Dave said, if I call this guy and forgive him and he responds badly, am I ever going to be able to trust God's voice again?" But the Holy Spirit gave you the strength to do it, and God came through. There's a boldness with the early church. They're like, "I'm going to pray and believe it's going to happen. I'm going to step out in faith and trust that the Holy Spirit, God is on the move and he can do it. Has nothing to do with me, but I know that he has said it, so it is to be true." That's the second freedom. I pray that you walk away free to pray in Jesus' name with all authority. As a result, people are experiencing healing miracles. People are set free from their physical ailments wherever they go. Just the shadow of the followers of Jesus was healing people. Can you imagine walking into work and just walking past someone and they go, "Oh gosh, I feel better"? But that's what the Holy Spirit anointing can do. It's done it before. Why can't you be clothed with that same kind of power? Just their shadow. And thirdly, there was another kind of freedom that I find is mind-blowing, a physical freedom. They're in physical jail. The Holy Spirit says, "I'm just going to set you free through an angel." Like, freedom is everywhere the early church is going. They are so free, they don't care what happens, because they are free, because the Holy Spirit is moving on their behalf, and they just know that they know that they know that their God is for them, not against them. He's for you, not against you. And today, that freedom is available here. I speak with boldness right now. Holy Spirit, I know you're going to do it. So right now, we're going to have a time of ministry. Like, everyone understand, first and foremost, to be set free from your sin and your shame and your past and your guilt, the first thing you need to do is acknowledge that Jesus is who he said he was, died on a cross, 3 days later rose from the dead, walked amongst those for 40 days after, proclaimed that he was God and he was the way, the truth and the life. No one would get to heaven except through him. All those that believed in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's all it takes. I believe Jesus. I believe in you. Give me eternal life. Set me free.
And if you've never prayed that and you want me to pray for you right now, just put up your hand and say, God, I need to be free. I need to be set free. Across this room, you need to be set free. In Jesus' name, lift your hand towards heaven. Yeah, I see that hand. Set him free in Jesus' name, declaring that Jesus, you are who you are. I see that hand at the back. Jesus, set her free, declaring who you are. Holy Spirit, you are here. And you want to do what only you can do. You want to pour it out again. If you need healing in your body, would you come to the front? Any ailment. Because it says all were healed. All were healed. All. Not some, but all. Forgive us as we forgive those that have sinned against us. If you have any, I'm telling you right now, if you have anything in your heart, unforgiveness towards someone right now, and maybe they're in this room, I want you to drop everything and go to them and pray with them and get restoration. Even in this room, I want you to go to them and find your restoration. Forgive those who've sinned. Here's the crazy thing. I was thinking about this as Dave said, you know, as it's not the owners. We like to hold a grudge. Imagine if God held a grudge against us. While we were still in our sin, he loved us and sent his only son to die on a cross so we didn't have to experience the punishment of death. Would you extend that same forgiveness to those people in your world? Holy Spirit, I ask for that conviction. Remind us of what you've done for us on the cross so that we can extend your love to others.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.